shot! Oh, baby, what a play!
This is Jeff Fedotin with Believe in Chiefs on the Believe Network, Kansas City's number one sports podcast network, the only place with a show for every team in KC and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? On this week's show, former Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Joe Valerio and I discuss the Chiefs' changes on the offensive line. Joe, the Chiefs signed Juwan Taylor to an $80 million deal, which pretty much means the Chiefs can't afford to bring Orlando Brown back. We know that Andrew Wiley is going to the Commanders to join Eric Bieniemy. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Jeff, the thing that hit me the most,
back, I know.
It is, right? You saw the hesitation in my face and probably hear it in my voice. Well, number one, it's a lot of money. And, you know, wow, how things have changed.
Right.
You know, offensive lineman, you know, $80 million. Wow. You know, I think back to some of the all-stars, you know, during the 90s and what they were making. Like, even when you put even the Joe Montanas and Steve Youngs of the world, like, you think about that now, right? What a lineman's making, even compared to what they were making, that is pretty amazing. So the thing that first hit me was, I thought, personally, this was my opinion. Now, listen, I'm not the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs. But my thought was that they were going to try to maximize dollars for Orlando Brown and Andrew Wiley. Like, I still thought there was a chance they could bring Andrew Wiley back if they found the right left tackle, right? If they brought in somebody who, because I think Andrew Wiley's deal was maybe $6 million a year, maybe $8 million a year.
Eight,
he's like 24 million. Yeah. So whatever that calculates to with this whole AAV and all that crazy math that goes on with this capology that goes on. But let's call it a $24 million deal, right? $8 million a year. I thought they could keep Andrew and go and get, like, remember we talked about this on one of our past pods, like go out and get somebody who was maybe 85% of Orlando Brown's caliber, or you know, someone like that, like maybe not the left tackle of all left tackles, right? The Anthony Munoz of left tackles, right? But just, let's just go get somebody who can get the job done and really protect Patrick's backside, and maybe spend, you know, $10 million a year, $15 million a year, like save some money there, keep Andrew Wiley, keep some consistency if they had to, you know, if they decided that they wanted to give up Orlando Brown. That's where I'm a little perplexed, is that they went and pretty much sounds like they're replacing Orlando Brown for Orlando Brown. Like, you know, not to compare two players and put them in the exact same bucket, but it just feels like we didn't make any headway and we lost and are losing. We haven't lost, you know, Orlando Brown yet.
That's a pipe dream
they could actually put Juwan Taylor at right tackle and keep it around at left tackle. Like, that's not happening, right? I mean, unless Patrick Mahomes literally plays for free and totally restructures his deal. So that's not happening. So we're losing consistency, right, on the line, a team that won the Super Bowl, right? And two players that, you know, remain relatively healthy from a missing games perspective. I know you and I still have our conspiracy theory, and so does Blair Kirkhoff, that maybe Orlando Brown was hurt but was continuing to play. But, like, I don't know. I just feel like we've lost two pieces of the puzzle and we're replacing it. It's a puzzlement for me.
It makes me think that they were a little more down on Orlando Brown than, you know, maybe that when he was struggling beginning of the year, maybe it wasn't an injury, and maybe they just think he wasn't, you know, that he was good but not elite. Yeah, Joe, I was a little surprised too. And I do think Juwan Taylor is potentially better value in the sense that, like, I don't think they could get Orlando Brown for 4 years, $80 million. I don't think he was going to take that. That would have been the franchise money about. Yeah. I think he's going to want more. So I think he is going to be a better value. Joe, I have some stats on you for Taylor because I want your take on him as a player too. I know it's sometimes hard to – Jacksonville is a team on the rise, but they weren't on national TV on a lot. But some positive things. So he's – Taylor, if nothing else, is remarkably durable, Joe. Since entering the NFL as a second-round pick in 2019, he started opening day. He started all 66 of his NFL games. That's awesome. So you got to love that. And then Pro Football Focus want your take on these grades too. So he apparently, according to their grades, he played 1,095 snaps last year, only allowed 5 sacks, only committed 7 penalties. So those two stats have me encouraged. But Joe, we need to know from the offensive lineman expert, the someone who played the position like you.
Well, my concern too, and just like everybody's concern, and I'm not, this is a Captain Obvious statement, right? I'm not bringing such huge insights into here just because I played. I'm a little concerned about the switch from right tackle to left tackle. It is different. I don't care what anybody says. If there's a reason why, your left tackles get paid. Now, pretty much Orlando Brown did it, and he was able to, to make it work. So I know he had spent most of his time with the Ravens at right tackle. So, he did it, and it didn't cause, I don't think, a great amount of stir, right? I think Patrick stayed pretty well protected. Although you and I have talked about, some of the hits that Patrick took, you go back and you rewind the tape and you pull out and watch the wide zone, the wide end zone or the wide sideline shot, and you'll see that sometimes it was Orlando Brown's guy, that was getting by. And
Including again that Jaguars, the ankle injury that bothered him throughout the playoffs, back to the going kind of full circle with the Jaguars here.
yeah, I mean, he's got the measurables, he's got the stats. I love that he's disciplined, and the penalties were, whew, that's, come on, 1,000 snaps, 7 penalties. That's crazy. I mean, especially playing a tackle in some of the loud stadiums that Jacksonville's probably played in, over the course as they've been on the rise, right? And teams trying to get after, Trevor Lawrence and really being loud and noisy. And, the fact that he only had 7 penalties is pretty dramatic. That's a pretty disciplined player. And durability's there. So I think on paper it all looks good. My concern is that, ultimately we're not maximizing maybe some of the money that we could have freed up by bringing in somebody who's not going to tag that kind of money, which I do agree with you. Orlando Brown he was going to demand more than this. So maybe this is a good value. Maybe this is a value that the Chiefs can live with if they can get him, and Andy Heck feels comfortable that he can get him to transition, to the left tackle. He seems to be pretty confident about it from what I've read, and what I've seen is that Andy Heck feels confident that he can make the switch. Now that's putting a lot of eggs in a basket that, because, as you're putting your preeminent rusher over there, especially with somebody that's going to be eyeing up the Chiefs each week, right? They're going to be bringing people off of Patrick's backside, because that's the only way you can get him, right? We know that. You're not, I think the reason why sometimes teams like to rush, I think that the reason why they like to rush Patrick from the right is they don't want him to go to his right. And I think, it's a double-edged sword. If you rush Patrick with your best pass rusher to the Chiefs' left, his blind side, you're putting your weak, maybe not your weakest rusher, but one of your weaker rushers on the right, where he can see everything, and you know how effective he is going to his right. He's insane, right, when he goes to his right. So, that's a tough thing for defensive coordinators to think about as they're game planning against rushing Patrick Mahomes. Where do you really rush him from? And it's almost as if, he's better, you're better served if you rush him from his right side. So, look, there's a lot of things we could pontificate on this for a while, but I think, long story long, I think it's he's got the measurables. He's one of the better free agent tackles that's out there. They're going to have plenty of time now to make this move. He's not going to hold out of camp. He's going to be at every mini camp. We don't know if Orlando Brown was going to do that. They put the franchise tag on him and he doesn't agree with it. Next thing you know, we're 2 weeks into the season and he's coming back. And maybe that's what Brett Veach and Andy Reid are trying to eliminate, right? That risk factor that now Juwan Taylor is coming in. He's going to sign that big deal. He's going to be pleased as punch, and he's going to be ready to go. And it's not going to be this battle that the Chiefs need in this sort of repeat attempt to win the Super Bowl. So I give it, right now, as it stands today, if I had to put a letter grade on it, I'm my the verdict's not out for me yet. I'm going to give it a B. I'm going to give it a solid B for all the things that you said, Jeff. The measurables, the stats, who we signed, for the money comparison that we would have had to pay Orlando Brown. But I'm giving it a B because I'm not 100% sure how the Andrew Wiley loss factors into this, along with the amount of money that they are paying Juwan Taylor. So that's my take on it right now.
Well, good stuff there, Joe. And more on Juwan Taylor and more on right tackle versus left tackle. But first, a word from our sponsor. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. There's March Madness around the corner, pro and college basketball, UFC, MMA, and more. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. With live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any game, BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BELIEV, BLEAV, to receive your rewards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. Joe, we touched on this a little bit, but of course, the $64,000 question, right tackle, left tackle. You seem to, it sounds like the tea leaves are indicating Taylor's going to be left tackle. Joe, you played, so the kind of a two-part question, Joe. Do you think he will be the left tackle? And Joe, you played along the offensive line almost every position. Tell listeners what's different between right tackle, left tackle, and the challenge kind of with the technique from going to right to left, if that's what he does.
Yeah, well, I mean, generally it's not so much the technique, because you're going to face really good rushers on both sides, and similar type rushers in this environment. Like back in the day, just to give some insight into the 90s when I was playing, and I did play left. I played a lot of left, I played a lot of right. I started some games at right. My rookie year, I came in as sort of a backup left tackle to John Ault and Derek Graham. Then the theory was you're going to rush your Neil Smith type rusher over the right. You're bigger, almost like, let's call it the Chris Jones, right? Chris Jones type. You're going to rush your Chris Jones over the right tackle, and you're going to rush your Derek Thomas or your Neil Smith, Neil Smith, Chris Jones type over the right, and your Frank Clark, Derek Thomas type over the left.
The smaller, quicker guy on the left side.
Right. Because you want to use the speed to get to, you want to use speed and quickness to get to the quarterback faster from the left side, because it's the blind side, right? You want to get that disruption. You don't want a slow, methodical rusher coming from the left, because you want to make sure that when you're rushing from your defensive right or the offense's left, you're going to want to make sure that you are getting there quickly. And that you're all of a sudden Derek Thomas is on you, and you feel him coming, and it flushes you out of the pocket from the, you want to have the quarterback to be forcing himself to use the eyes in the back of his head. Whereas from the right side, the quarterbacks can see everything that's happening to them, just from the natural body position. When you see a quarterback drop back, right? It's, yeah, they can see the left, but man, when you get that rusher coming around, the speed rush from outside, you know, quarterbacks do lose sight of the court of the of the rusher coming from the left. So, it's sometimes it's just who they put there. And historically, teams have always put their best pass rusher on the offense's left. And it just means that week in and week out, you're going to be faced with a pass rusher who knows what the heck they're doing. And it could be somebody who's going to dip their shoulder and use their speed. It's going to be somebody who's going to try to bull rush you right back into the quarterback, but they're going to try to get there fast. So you definitely can't be a mauler at left tackle. You have to be a little bit more athletic. You have to be a little bit more happy with your feet and your hands in dealing with those speed rushers and some of the blitzes that would come off the backside for the quarterback's protection. So, that's a little bit of the difference, at least. And I don't see it as much today, because a lot of teams are rushing the same kind of edge rusher off both sides. Now that you have this whole edge rusher category, right, in the draft and in college coming out, like edge rusher, a lot of times now you're putting two Frank Clarks on the outside, right? And so, you look at like guys like Hassan Reddick from the Eagles. He's definitely not more of a Neil Smith, Chris Jones. He's more of a Derek Thomas, Frank Clark, and he rushes from the right. So, that could be a matchup thing, because they're trying to go against the right tackle who's maybe not as athletic as the left tackle. It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out.
So it sounds like it's a little bit less of a difference now, but it's not so much like a technique thing or, between right tackle, left tackle, that's different. It's just might be the type of players you're facing, correct? It's not,
Yeah.
you don't have to, it's not that different to learn, it's not changing your foot up, footwork, your setup, or even really the plays and things like that.
Well, the fact that they're getting him early, right? The fact that they're getting Juwan early, it will help because, as much as you don't want to say it, listen, anybody who listens to our pod that plays golf or swings a baseball bat or does things, plays tennis, like things where you're required to do muscle memory, right? There's a lot of muscle memory in sports. And think about what it would be like, to play golf with your right clubs, your right-handed clubs for your whole life. And then all of a sudden, say, hey, swing these left-handed clubs or swing a baseball bat left-handed. Now, that's maybe a little bit of over dramatic, but there is an analogy there, right? Of muscle memory of, kicking with your right foot to pass protect, kick right, kick right, kick right. And then all of a sudden you got to change where your feet are lined up and you got to kick left. And you've got to change your eye patterns and where your eye, focuses on the left shoulder of the defender who's rushing you when you're on the left side versus focusing on the right shoulder when you're pass blocking on the right side. You're focusing on the defender's right shoulder. So there's definitely going to be some muscle memory in there. And I don't want to discount the fact that even as athletic as these offensive linemen are today, much more athletic than we were playing, we have to make sure that people, understand that there is some muscle memory to this. And I think one of the positives to this whole deal is that they're getting him in early, right? So he's going to be at every offseason training program, I'm sure. He's going to be at every mini camp that he needs to be there for. And they're going to allow him the time, ample time, to get that muscle memory of moving to the left side. So rather than, somebody who might be holding out or, waiting until later in free agency to sign that person. So I think that's a positive.
And it's interesting. Not Chiefs aren't the only team that's doing this. Tampa Bay Buccaneers actually are moving Tristan Wirfs, who's one of the best linemen and maybe one of the best tackles in football, from the right side to the left side. They released Donovan Smith. I thought he might be a guy the Chiefs look at. I guess they still could. But Joe, so okay, two questions for you. So you think Taylor, he's the opening day left tackle, assuming he's healthy, correct? And did you like playing right tackle or left tackle better?
I prefer right because I go back to muscle memory. I played my whole college career at right
Right
tackle.
tackle.
I just felt more comfortable in a right-handed stance. I just, it just was muscle memory, and I had to learn. Believe it or not, because I played center. My left, I was better with my left hand than I was with my right hand, even though I'm right-handed. I was much better at getting on the inside of a pass rusher with my right hand, my left hand, and I was actually stronger with my left hand. I had better leverage using my left hand, and so when you're pass plot blocking, what your goal is to do, Jeff, it's to split the player in half and take half the player. And you want to keep, so imagine like two players lined up directly across from each other, and you want to take as a right tackle, you want your left foot to be just inside of their right foot. Okay, so picture that, two people standing directly across from each other, facing each other. You want your left foot as the tackle. Now pretend you're on offense. You want your left foot to be just inside of his right foot, and you want your right foot just to be inside of their left foot so that your feet are offset just a little bit so that you're protecting the inside, right? You're protecting your inside shoulder, and you want to force that player to the outside. If you jump inside too fast and your feet goes more than just inside of his feet, then he's going to have a free shot to the quarterback. If you jump him to the right where you lose leverage on the inside, he can beat you on the inside and get into the quarterback's face, right? Hopefully I painted that picture well enough for our listeners to understand. I just think there's so much muscle memory that goes into it. And I was so much better at getting my left foot inside of somebody's foot and using my left hand as leverage on the inside of that player as they were rushing outside and going around the corner than I was going the other direction. I don't know why. It just maybe it was just because it was my whole life was patterned that way. And I think it's why it translated to me being able to play center well. Was because I was so good at using my left hand. You're snapping with your right hand, so you got to get your left hand up to protect yourself. And it just, it kind of translated. So, yeah, I much, much more enjoyed playing on the right side just based on the way that the footwork had evolved over the course of my life. And I played right tackle in high school. So,
Interesting stuff. So you are more the mauler type. Joe Juwan, I mean, he's gotta be the left tackle, right? They don't pay him all this much money to
I, yeah, just out of, yeah, just out of pure NFL like history, right? I don't know what word I'm looking for, but like history or status quo or whatever. Like, yeah, I mean, you got to give the left tackle the money. And I think most players go into this knowing that, left tackles are going to get paid more. And I can't imagine him not. I don't know what else they would do in this free agent market. Or in the draft, that if they think there's some left tackle out there that they're going to get that is going to be able to do it and keep him at right tackle for that kind of money, I don't know. I just think all signs are pointing that he's going to play
Right.
left.
And Andy Heck, he's all about versatility, cross training these linemen. So, maybe somebody flips through the cracks. They might draft another tackle. They could always move around. But I'm thinking right now he'd be the highest paid in terms of AAV, average annual value, of any right tackle. So you think, geez, that's, I mean, so it's not inconceivable, but like you would think, and regardless of where he plays, Joe, he's already the highest paid Chiefs linemen, and the salary cap goes up every year. The players make more than the free agents the year before. So that Joe Tooney, who's really good, that was he when he was signed before the Super Bowl runs. He was making 5 years 80. Taylor's making 4 years 80 with more guaranteed money, 60 versus 40 something for Tooney. But that also makes me think, Joe, know who's got to be happiest about this news? Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, because when they're free agents in 2 years, cap keeps going up. If Taylor and Tootie are making about 20 million a year, well, boy, those guys are really good at cash in.
Oh, man, they're gonna come off of this rookie contract. I mean, God willing, hoping that nobody gets hurt or whatever. Yeah, they're gonna get paid. I mean, because they're to me, I think they're the real key to this line, to this line's success. Not taking anything away from Tooney. He really solidified that line. He's so consistent. He's so you just don't hear about him, which is the best thing you want to hear about an offensive lineman. You don't want to be hearing about him, right? Penalties. And maybe Juwan Taylor's one of those players we're not going to hear about. He's just going to get his job done. He doesn't get hurt, knock on wood. He doesn't cause penalties. He's not getting his name on the loudspeaker. So, that's pretty cool that over on the left side, you're going to have two very consistent, durable players. I know Tooney's missed a little bit of time here and there, and Trey Smith missed a little too, but they're just that's going to be think about those four. We thought that was the way it was going to be with Orlando Brown, but I don't know, Jeff. I still have to go back. It's why I'm not giving this grade on Juwan Taylor and this whole move anything less than a B yet. I want to see how it plays out. I don't want to go gung ho and be too homer about it and be all wow, yeah, big signing. Like we still have to see how it plays out. But it's why I'm not giving it anything less than a B. Is because think about the four guys that they do have. I mean, they're going to have there's a chance they could have four of the highest paid offensive linemen in the entire NFL, when those two rookies come off their rookie deal. So, getting a right tackle, look, it's you're never going to get five for you're never going to be five for five. And I know last year we talked a little bit about in the middle of the season, Andrew Wiley possibly being the weak, I hate to use that term, it makes it sound so terrible, but the weak link, because you did have four really, really good players, right? On the other side of Andrew Wiley, but he really came on. And I think he earned that payday through the playoff run, right? Because That's big time for somebody like him, who was who probably could have been seen maybe by some teams as a journeyman if he had kicked around the league with other teams. But man, he's getting paid, and he did what he needed to do. And I think the Chiefs realized that maybe for this offense, he wasn't the right player, and they weren't going to give him that $8 million a year. Which, how are they going to do that and be able to pay those other two guys come next year?
It's a great story for Andrew Wiley. Really happy for him. And Juwan Taylor is tough because a lot of times when you're watching NFL games, they don't really focus on offensive line play anyhow. And especially the Jaguars, again, really haven't been on, I really trying to keep tabs on all teams, but the Jaguars aren't on TV enough. So I remember him in college. He was really good. He was a very high second round pick. A lot of people thought he'd be a first round pick. So he was really good at college, but Joe, I haven't seen a lot of tape on Taylor. I'm just going off these stats. I don't know if you have a better feel or if you've seen any online stuff.
I've seen some clips. I haven't, of course, the clips they show are generally going to be the good ones. I'd have to dig into some NFL Plus and check out some game film to see, how he handles a full game and, how he does against, preeminent pass rushers and things like that. But the fact that, the stats do kind of speak for themselves. Now, stats don't take into account pressures and getting bull rushed and things like that. But at 6'5", 330, I doubt if he's getting bull rushed a whole lot. He seems like a pretty stout dude, so I don't think we're going to have that problem. I mean, it'll be interesting to see, his feet. I'd love to go back and like watch his combine tape or something, see how he moves, because this Chiefs offense, you got to move. Like, this isn't an offense for people who are stuck in the mud. You're bouncing around a lot with Patrick Mahomes and some of the funky plays that they run. I mean, first of all, is he going to be able to do the snow globe? Is he going to be able to spin around in a circle four times and then go up to the line and not get dizzy, right? So, this, I say that jokingly and half tongue in cheek, because it really is an offense that offensive linemen are moving around all the time. So that it will be interesting to see if they can get him to translate to this offense as well, compared to what, the Jags have done over the last, 4 years.
Yeah, if they're looking, and they very well could, I'm sure they're going to draft some offensive linemen, maybe a tackle high, maybe that's the right tackle. But yeah, as part of their tryout, when they bring him to the facility, they've got to have him like go on a bat with his forehead and rotate. Just there's hazing drills almost to see if they can do the snow globe. Joe, the best news for the Chiefs in this early free agent period might not even be the addition of the offensive line. I think the Bengals are kind of their chief rivals as far as, for battling for AFC supremacy. Joe, the Bengals lost both of their state safeties, Von Bell, Jesse Bates. This wasn't unexpected, but they're really good. And that's part of the reason the Bengals had so much success, I think, against the Chiefs. They were able to flood coverage and they were able to mix it. Those guys were so versatile and they could move around to different, cover two, cover three, all sorts of stuff. So I thought that was actually the best news for the Chiefs.
The fun of it is not only following your own team, but it's following your rivals, right? And seeing, what happens. And look at the Raiders, right? How's that gonna, losing Derek Carr and, picking up quite a QB there. So, this is going to be interesting to see. That to me is the fun of free agency. Look, Jeff, you and I always joke. We do a weekly podcast, and sometimes we have to be honest with ourselves and say, hey, what are we going to talk about this week in mid-March? And the Chiefs and the NFL never disappoint. They always give us stuff to talk to our listeners about and stuff for their listeners to listen to, because it's so much fun. So yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm excited to see what free agency looks like for the Chiefs' biggest rivals, right? That's a lot of fun too. And it's a lot easier today with social media and the amount of sports coverage that's out there, right? You can hear about these things in real time, which is really cool.
Totally. Speaking of rivals and who they're bringing in, Broncos bring in two offensive linemen, including Mike McGlinchey, another guy who they paid a ton of money to. He might be a right tackle. So it seems like the internet is indicating that that Juwan Taylor is going to be a left tackle, but you never know. You never know.
I don't know what the Jimmy Garoppolo thing's going to do for the Raiders, if what they're gaining there and what they lost with Derek Carr. I mean, I don't think enough people gave Derek. I mean, I know we love to hate the Raiders. I get it. And they're our vaunted rival, but I mean, I don't know. I I've always thought I don't think they were doing enough to support Derek Carr. And I think, I mean, yeah, they had Josh Jacobs and decent running game, but there was just some pieces missing to that team. So I'm not 100% sure that's not just going to be a swap, unless the Raiders go out and do something dramatic somewhere else to help augment what Garoppolo is going to need to make that offense work. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what the AFC West does, because that was our big hype last year, right? AFC West, man, it was the AFC best, we wanted to call it, right? Because it was made up of four teams that every one of them had a shot at the playoffs, and a good shot. You know, maybe all four of them could have made the playoffs. Who knows, right? Or, you know, I just don't know. I'll be anxious to see if the AFC West can climb out of the basement.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And again, I think that for the Raiders, yeah, I mean, Carr did not have a great year, but I think he wasn't really the problem so much as their defense, but also their offensive line. So yeah,
Yeah.
it'll be interesting to continue to monitor their free agents happenings. They've got a lot of cap room still, so it'll be interesting to watch. Well, if you enjoy this show presented by Bet Online, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories: iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.